Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning, Philip.
So, first of all, this statistic, people over 45 who rent are unlikely to ever own a house. It's pretty gripping, not too positive. How did you come to this number or this age, I suppose?
We were looking at the ABS survey of income and housing, and we took a look at the wealth of three groups. So we looked at people who had just retired, 65 to 69, and then 10 years younger and 10 years younger than that, so 45 to 49. For the older groups, they practically had no wealth. The 45, 49, they had somewhat more wealth, the median wealth, probably sat around $50,000 or $60,000. So right now, we know a large number of those people in that late 40s age group really have insufficient wealth to be able to purchase housing.
Right. And why is there a link between renters being worse off in retirement compared to home buyers?
Well, purchasing a home is, the major way Australians have of creating wealth and storing wealth. So, people say that rent is dead money. In some respects, of course, that's true. While you pay for a mortgage, you get an asset at the end, and that asset can work as a form of insurance for you later on. So if something happens to you, such as illness or disability or retrenchment, you can fall back on the equity that you have in your housing. But if you're a renter, you don't have that, and you're actually much more vulnerable. But we also see that people who are renting, they don't necessarily have the income to have savings in other forms either.
Ah, so it's something of a double-edged blade there. Well, on the flip side, are there any positive reasons for people who might want to opt to rent?
Oh, there's many reasons why people actually want to rent. In a very mobile employment situation, people do want to be able to rent. But really, that's a particular group of workers, particularly those who travel, move around nationally or internationally. But the vast majority of people want to be able to settle down, especially once they start having children. They want to be able to settle somewhere that's reasonably close to their work if possible, but that is increasingly something that they cannot achieve. They can't afford to buy in the inner cities. Their choice is to go to the urban fringe where the housing is cheaper, but that then demands large commutes that are often difficult and are expensive.
When it comes to understanding any sort of housing bubble or housing collapse, the extent of my knowledge is basically centered around negative gearing. What was the basis of your findings for this study?
Well, one of the things we did is we broke down our tenure groups a little bit differently. So we did look at renters who don't own any other property and renters who do. Some renters have a property, but they don't live in it. We also looked at homeowners who didn't have any other properties, and we looked at people who own and also own other properties, so they have rental properties. No surprise that they were the wealthiest households in Australia, and we saw them as changing their strategies between 2003 and 13, where they just took on lots of debt for those rental properties they had because they realised they didn't have to actually try to accumulate equity. The name of the game was buying with borrowings and then selling again later and making the money, the money back to the bank and take your cut. So they're flipping properties. They realise that's how they can do it. So they are the wealthiest households, but that comes really at the expense of the people who are renting, who are faced upward rental prices, and of course it also comes at the expense of people wanting to purchase, because it creates housing price inflation, so it prices everyone else out of the market.
Well, is there anything that we can do to try and rectify the housing bubble that we've found ourselves in?
Yes, whether it's a housing bubble is another matter. Economists will argue about that, but what is very clear is that we have this rising house prices, and it now takes very ordinary households about 10 years of savings to purchase a house when it was only 20 odd years ago. So housing is now priced out of the means of many, many households. So what can we do about that? Well, there are a number of policy things that could change immediately, and one of the things that we're suggesting happens is the capital gains concession. So when you flip a property and you make $100,000, currently you only get taxed on half of that. We're saying you should be taxed on all of it because we want to discourage people buying merely for the capital gain because they're inflating the market. They're causing all these other perverse outcomes because, you know, people would be able to purchase and then they wouldn't be renters. We're also suggesting the reintroduction of death duties. Because households make money out of housing, it's really only fair that at the end of their life, when you know they die, their benefactors pay some small death duties on that unearned income that they're getting. And that money then can be returned to social housing. We need really significant levels of investment in social housing because the private rental sector, lots of people can't afford to be in the private rental sector, so they really need the protections offered by social housing. And social housing eligibility needs to be widened to take in a much larger group than it currently does.
Right. Well, there's a lot of things that sound like they need to be done, but I suppose at least there are solutions on the cards, it looks like.
Well, these kinds of solutions have been around forever. You know, there's lots of good policy. What's not there is political will. What I would like to see is the generations who are affected most negatively by this, which is Gen Y and younger, but also a substantial number of Gen X. You know, it's really time that they entered the national conversation on housing, because at the moment, most of the policy prescriptions that can, you know, fix the problem are rejected because, of course, those policies work to the benefit of people who own rental properties. So there is a generational divide, and I think it's up to the generations who are suffering to take control of that debate.
Well, I guess we're working on it. We're working on it. Andrea, thanks very much for joining me this morning to unpack all of this.
My pleasure, Philip.
Cheers.